hear the life of Peter. Follow Thou Me has been the title of the messages. Follow Thou Me, our theme, the life of the Apostle Peter. We've seen our Lord bring our brother a long way, and he is our brother. He's an apostle, and he's our brother. You know, we know him as Peter. Peter. We have a different, you have different ways and cultures. I'm just going to mention this now. And there's things of honor and respect that we have in cultures. You might call me, which is fine, Brother Duke, out of respect and honor of being your pastor or pastor of the church. Folks in the community will do that. And we have in our culture that last name reference. Do you know, in the scriptures, do you see that? You don't see that in the scriptures, do you? And I think the reason that we don't see that in the scriptures is because, now I'm not chiding you if you do so. I'm not telling you not to. I just want you to see this point in the scriptures. We know all of our brethren, the apostles, and otherwise by first name. Why? Because we're brothers. Brother Mark has Brother Shane, is his brother in the flesh. Have you ever called him Mr. Dewberry? No. And of course, he's his younger brother. You know, so those of you that have siblings, you understand that relationship. That's what he's to call you. All right, Shane, you heard it if you ever listen to this. All right. So you know, in a family, you don't do that. You call one another by your first name. And now, unless you're in trouble or you've displeased maybe your spouse or something like that. But you know, we call one another by first name, and we know our brethren in the scripture by first name. And so we don't need to be disrespectful. I'm not promoting disrespect, but understand that in the scriptures and then bring that over here to how we are. Our relationship is a blood relationship in the blood, the eternal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do have kinship, fleshly kinships, but you know what? That's superseded by the kinship we have in Christ. And so just a note there, Brother Peter, we know him by his first name, and he is our brother in glory there with the Lord. And I like to have that thought about it. He's not some super Christian, you know, that's over here somewhere else. I mean, he is in glory with the Lord, but you know, he's a man just like you and me. Or was, and when he lived his life on this earth. And what we see in his life indeed gives us hope that the Lord can help us. And so I enjoy that and want to try to convey that to you. Here in 1 Peter, the epistle of Peter, his first one, 1 Peter as we refer to it, we see our brother strengthening his brethren. Remember, that's what the Lord called him to do. He said, when you are converted, Satan wants to do some things. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And our Lord Jesus is not talking about a salvation, but he's talking about in heart and soul and mind being sold out for the Lord, surrendered to the calling of the Lord, and following the Lord. And with every whit of his life and being, he says, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren, strengthen thy brethren. And we see here in these epistles, our brother strengthening us, which is a blessing. A couple weeks ago, we came down here to verse number 9. He's speaking about Christ. He's speaking about the trial of faith and that we need to be looking toward the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have promises that our brother will talk to us about in his second epistle and the purpose of those. And he says, hang on. Look to the Lord. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Our souls are saved, and we will be completely saved when our Lord comes. Our bodies are not saved. Okay, understand that. Understand. You got trouble? Well, you've got trouble for a reason as a child of God. Because new man living within, Spirit of God living within, men within, old man flesh, old mind not saved. New man, saved. Spirit of God living within, saved. That's the definition of being saved, the Spirit of God living within. Body, not saved. Really? Yeah. Mind, not saved. Will be saved at the appearing of Christ. Listen to this. Verse 10, of which salvation, the salvation of sinners, of which salvation, verse number 10, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, the favor of our Lord that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I think about Brother Isaiah and Brother David. There's others in the Old Testament scriptures prophesying, Zechariah prophesying about our Lord, Ezekiel even prophesying about our Lord, what our Lord Jesus would come and do. You know, how is it that they knew that Christ would do those things? Christ was in them. He was leading in the writing of those scriptures. He was by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, by the directive of our Lord Jesus, he was in them and told beforehand what Christ would come and do. Peter says, we look back at what they wrote, and Peter's going to deal with us and encourage us about the scriptures, the more sure word of prophecy that we have in the scriptures. And he said, these fellas, they looked into, they inquired, what's that mean? Remember the Ethiopian eunuch as Philip drew near and he's reading there in Isaiah. And he said, you understand what you read? Philip asked the eunuch, you understand what you read? And the eunuch says, well, how can I except some man guide me? And he's and Philip takes up, it tells about what he was reading in Isaiah. And then the man asked him, said, who is he speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or another? Philip preaches unto him Christ. Don't you know Isaiah? Other brethren that read, those that we've read about in Ezekiel that sighed and cried for the abominations, you know, that were at hand there in Jerusalem. They desired the word of the Lord. And Malachi, those that talked about the Lord, and the Lord wrote that book of remembrance. You know, they were interested in the word of God. What's it mean? Who's it talking about? You know what? You and I have a great blessing living here in our day, in our generation. We have many things that we could cry and moan and groan about. We have many things in our day that grieve us, our country, the shape of our country, just the unraveling of our country and our world, the total misunderstanding of things that are at hand by the generations that live in this day. And we just hate, well, we sigh and cry, don't we? Well, we sigh. I don't know how much we cry. Would to God that we would weep more because of this. I mean, if it continuing on, we know we have great hope of our Lord Jesus coming back. We know that, but, you know, we're never happy for wickedness to abound and sin to abound in our nation. And so they did so, and they looked to the word of the Lord. We live in this day, we look back and we see Christ having come. We've got the full picture. They didn't. And what a blessing it is in our day. We live here and we have this load and burden that we have for the happenings in our day. But we look back and we understand about Christ having come and that the scriptures are about him. We have things indeed in the scriptures that we scratch our head about, but there's much that we understand and that we see. And what a blessing that is. Isn't it something how when it's easy, there is even seeming, if you will, from the human standpoint, when it's easy, maybe we would note that there's less faithfulness. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We've got a great blessing. Of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, the favor of the Lord that should come unto you. It's the great, by the grace of God, that we live in the day that we live. Oh, I wish I would have lived in the 50s. Oh, I wish I would have lived 100 years ago. No, don't do that. Don't go there. You and I live in the day that our Lord placed us and put us to live. That's where he wants us to live. And he's done so as a blessing. It's the good grace of God that he has placed us in this time and given us life. It's coming to us. We've been recipients on this side of it. Rather than looking toward the coming of Messiah, we look back to the Savior coming and having won our redemption. Searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, see that which was in them, did signify through them when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Isaiah wrote about the sufferings of Christ. He talks about it there in Isaiah 53, right? A hallmark passage where we look on at Christ. We see Isaiah says we see the beating that he takes. We see the scourging, the whipping that he takes, the chastisement poured out upon him. And he says, we look on him and we don't esteem him. We don't want anything to do with that kind of thing being poured out upon a man. But he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, not what this man did do to warrant this, to justify this punishment, but what I did. And so they desired that and the glory that should follow. David speaks that Christ would not stay buried, right? That Christ would not lay in the grave and decompose like our bodies do. He wouldn't see corruption. Oh, but because he is life, even though he's life, he by his power and ability, he entered into death to abolish death for his saints, for his children. And then being life himself, life everlasting himself, he could not stay dead. And he rose from the grave. The glory of Christ that should follow our brethren in the day that they walked with Christ. You want to restore the kingdom? How about now? You're going to restore the kingdom? They're looking for the Lord to come in and whip up on the Romans, right? And set up Israel again. How about, is this it? Is this it now that you're resurrected? Is this it? No. It's not for you to know when that's going to be. But I tell you, here's what you do. You go preach my gospel to every creature. You baptize the believers and you teach to observe the all things. And my churches are going to be set up all over this world. And I'm going to save my people. I'm going to save sinners. And I'm coming back one day. Because if I've come and I've done all this and I go, remember what he told him before his death? He said, if I go and do all this and done what I've done, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to do that there in another place. And if I do that, aren't I going to come back for you? I am. I'm coming back for you. And so the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, verse 12, that not all, unto them, the, not, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they'd administer the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I tell you, this is big stuff. This is the way our Lord works. Look at how our Lord works. We need to get a handle on this. Our Lord has saved you and me so that we might be a minister and witness of the gospel to another. By virtue of our personal witness of our mouth and our conversation in our lives, that Christ has saved us and that he can save them. We are also, you and I are blessed that we've been called to be members of one of the Lord's churches. And so by the effort of the church and the local ministry and the missionaries that we support at home and abroad, and the different things that we do here with radio and the internet. You know, the internet's a worldwide ministry. The radio's a local ministry. The mailings that we do, announcing of special services, going out and witnessing in the community that you and I are supposed to be doing. And then in the lives, the folks that we have in our lives to touch and that. You know what? The Lord uses us to reach them. And you know what? The Lord used somebody to reach us. And you know what? our brethren that were touched by our Lord to write the scriptures, the Lord used them to minister unto us. This is the way our Lord does it. He uses people's lives. He uses their lives to reach other souls and lives. Understand that when you get a handle on that. 40 men, I say this often at the jail, 40 men chosen and ordained by our Lord over the course of 1600 years to write this scripture, this good book that we have. He used their lives. How many of us are here tonight? Maybe there's like 25 or 30 of us, and you add another 10 or so to that. Think about that. Lives taken. Think about a brother Ezekiel and what the Lord called brother Ezekiel to. Brother Paul, brother John, brother Peter, brother Matthew, right? Brother Isaiah. He used their lives. And it's written about, and written about the times of their lives, the things that the Lord did with them and gave them. And you know what? They are used by our Lord to minister unto us today. You know, if our lives were written about, what would the writing say? What would be the witness? What would be the witness of our Lord about our lives? And to whom it was revealed, the Lord did unto them, that not unto themselves, they had a blessing in it. But you know what? They ministered unto us. But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know what? What they preached and what they wrote and what they ministered jibes right with what's happening right here today. That's what Peter's saying. The ministry of our Lord Jesus, the calling of our Lord unto him to follow him, the establishing of his church, the keys of the kingdom being given to Israel and given to his church. You know what? Not only Jews being saved, but Gentiles being all told. And now happening. It all matches. The Holy Spirit is in the middle of it because it's God's work and it's God's good plan and work amongst us. You know what? The angels, Brother Peter says, the angels like to say, wow. Yeah, I don't know what the angels say, but I bet they say something like wow, or they think it. You know, why would the Lord save us? The angels would think. See, understand, angels, the angels that are not fallen have never sinned. And those that have sinned and fallen, followed after Satan, there is no redemption for them. None. Wow, what a contrast to us, huh? What a contrast to us. No wonder they like to look into, they desire to look into this. They being called by God Almighty to minister things to the saints back and forth. They're the ministering spirits of God toward the saints. It's not just only, I mean, wonderful as it is, that the Lord has worked and touched us, but he uses the angels to carry things back and forth. Oh, Brother Jim, I thought we just prayed to the Lord. Yeah, we do. We pray to the Lord, and he sends his word unto us, but it's the work of the Spirit, and the Lord uses angels to do things too. Don't get all caught up in the angels. Know that it's so, but they're not to be worshiped. They're not to be esteemed greater than their office and place. It's our Lord that we glorify in it. But again, this is not a hobby with God. This is his work that he does. The angels desire to look into these things. Verse 13, because of all those things, the previous 12 verses, wherefore get your mind together. We've had an emphasis here recently about the mind. Our hearts. What goes on inside of us? As the apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 9 about bringing the strongholds that we have in our lives, and that by the power of God, strongholds can be tore down, even the strongholds of the thoughts of our hearts and minds. You know, we need to get our minds fixed upon our Lord. I tell you what, that's the battleground. That is the battleground. Brother Head preached a message at camp about that. And, you know, the Lord had impressed that upon me and here at our church, and things that I've been trying to preach about and the Lord has burdened me with. And then we go to camp and it's connected with that. You know, and I told the class there, I think that that's the case, or I wonder if that's not the case. We need it. But you know what? If we go into a time where the persecution of the Lord's people and the Lord's churches begins to increase, you and I will not bear anything physically that we haven't got settled in our hearts and our minds first. We need to serve and worship, two different things, worship and serve. Worship is what we do when we meet together. There's an element of that, a slice of that that you could say is service. But then there's the rest of our lives that we spend outside of this place wherein we serve our Lord. We worship Him and we serve Him. We worship Him, namely, when we come together. And we can certainly privately worship Him too. But we serve Him. We do the majority of our service away from this place. And we need to know that. And we need to have the things of the Lord settled in our hearts and mind before we'll ever be able to obey Him physically. You're convicted to come to services tonight, and I'm glad. Me too. I'm convicted to come to services too. I'm glad for that. You know what? If someone's not convicted about coming to services, they're going, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Not too convenient. I won't go. Need to be convicted. Going to have services? I'm there. That's it. If you're sick, got fever, stay home. Get over it. Then come back. Okay? But conviction. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. These things being so, the work of God and the work of God during the course of time and bringing His Word, the trial of our faith, the greatness of our Lord, the end of our faith that is coming, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, this girding up, he's using a parable type of reference. If you're going to gird up yourself, you know, the putting on of clothes, you're going to go work in the garden. Or you're going to go, a man would go and chop wood. You know, you get yourself together. I mean, you don't go, if you got any sense, you don't go split wood and cut wood with flip-flops on. Right? You don't do that. If you're going to get some of it done, you do that and you dress for it. He says, get yourself together. Not like you would go and what you would wear to go sleep or to lounge around, but get yourself together and gird yourself up. Gird the loins of your mind. Going to do some heavy lifting. Going to have clothes on that won't get in the way and will be supportive in every way that's needed for the body. He says, because of these things, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Get it. Don't be foolish. Don't be vain. Don't be empty-headed. Don't be unwise and not understanding what the will of the Lord is, as we've taken a look lately. But take a look at the Word of God and what He says and be able to look at the signs of the times. The Lord Jesus chided those in His day. He said, you know what the weather's all about? You know about this thing and that thing. You know the other thing, but you don't even realize what's going on with me being here. We need to be discerning according to what our Lord has said. We need to have a sober understanding of what's going on and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ. Well, you know, Christ is revealed unto us when we're saved. He is. Christ is revealed unto us and His call, like it is with our brother when he was converted. Are you converted? Are you done on listening to the body and listening to the world and you tuned in to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying you don't waver. I don't want us to waver, but an understanding is true that we do waver. But are you convicted? Are you converted? You know, there's a revelation of Christ that, you know, really, I've got responsibilities in this world and I've got different things that the Lord's given me to do in this world. But you know what? The most important thing is what Christ says that I should do. What Christ says that I should do in my life. What Christ says that I should do in regards to my wife. What Christ says that I should do regarding my children. What Christ says that I should do regarding my neighbor, my parents. What Christ says that I should do regarding my brothers and sisters in Christ. What Christ says that I should do regarding the world and my witness to the world. What Christ says is the most important. What Christ says and what Christ instructs is really the only thing that's eternal. Is it not? Right? Because the things of this world are going to burn up. We need to use this world and what our Lord has given us, but we need to use it for His honor and glory and praise, don't we? We need to use it, and part of what the Lord, I was telling you, the Lord loaded my wagon this week about, is we need to use everything we've been given, not just the stuff, but talents and ability and the Spirit of God working within us. We need to use it for the edification of the saints in the church. For the edifying of the church. We need to use it for that. Edification, a builder-upper. Are we a builder-upper in the church or are we a user? You know, we need fellowship and we all need nourishment. We at many times have need. You know what? It's not healthy just to be a needer. Need to be a giver too. Need to put out some nourishment too. We nourish and are nourished. That's the design. That's the design. To build up the church and one another. It says, wherefore, because of all these things mentioned thus far, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It indeed is the favor of the Lord that opens our understanding, our hearts and our minds to that of Christ. You know, Christ is going to be revealed unto us when He comes for us one day. He's revealed to us in salvation. He's revealed to us in this of conversion, like we've seen with Brother Peter. He's revealed to us in another intermediary sense, as we see about what He gives us in His Word. You know, is the Bible just like a book of gobbledygook? Or has the Bible really got a purpose and instruction to help in life? Can you and I go and take a look at Noah's life, for example, and get something out of Noah's life that we can bring to ourselves and use? The one that's growing in the Lord can. We as the Lord's children should. Listen, if it's written, it's for our benefit. If it's in the book, so-and-so begat, even that is for a reason. It can help us to understand some things. Tell you what, you can go to Matthew chapter 1 and see about the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ there. And you know what? The grace and mercy and love of our Lord is just going down through those names is magnified unto us. You know, but if you don't know the accounts of those names, you and I won't see that. But that good word of God is for our benefit. The revelation of Christ, you know what? The revelation of Christ is going to be great. Not only when we see our Lord and we're with Him forever. You know, the revelation of Jesus Christ ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords during the millennial reign. You know, there are those that doubt the millennial reign. The revelation of Christ, when after the millennial reign, the nations of the world gather up together and Satan deceives them once again, and our Lord burns it all up. There'll be another great exhibition of our Lord's power. When our Lord sits on the great white throne, when he sits on the judgment seat of Christ, well, I tell you what, Christ will be revealed like he's never been revealed before. When we're there in the new heaven and the new earth with our Lord, and you know what? Our Lord Jesus gives back everything to the Father. Our Lord will be revealed like he has never been revealed to us before. Hope, expectation. You know what? We need to get our minds girded up, don't we? Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our Lord does not owe us a bit of this. But Christ being our Savior, it's His promises and His decision and purpose that He has given us these things. It just keeps getting better and better for the child of God. Oh, it may be rough on the body getting on through this life. But I tell you what, once we leave out of here, whether it be by the grave or in the air, you and I can't even imagine what our Lord has in store for us. Our brother talks about an entrance in the passages to come, and we'll see that. Here in verse number 14, we read here, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former desires. And again, that word lust, when you see it in the scriptures, it's not necessarily always talking about that which is intimate and licentious and that or has to do with relationships between people. But it just talks about the desires of this world and the desires of the flesh, what the flesh wants. It could be entertainment. It could be food. It could just be a love for books and reading. There's nothing wrong with a love for books and reading as long as you and I don't put that in front of our Lord, right? We take things that are just fine to do. We can make them sinful when we take them and we get the order out of whack and we put them between us and our Lord. He says, we need to be obedient children. We don't need to fashion ourselves according to what we desired before when we didn't know any better, because that's the way it is with the one that's not saved. We are and were ignorant. But obedient children, we need to fashion ourselves like Christ, don't we? We need not fashion ourselves according to this world. This world is on its way to hell. This world is on its way to destruction. Not the way we lived before I was saved, but as the Lord. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And there's the word, conversation. We don't use it in the same sense that it is here in the scriptures. Remember, when you see the word in the scriptures, conversation, it's speaking about what we think, what we say, and what we do. I had my stinking thinking, as Brother Daryl Titus would call. I had stinking thinking before the Lord saved me. I, as a Lord, child of God, I can resort back to stinking thinking. But we need to think on good things, as the scripture tells us, the things that the Lord tells us and indicates to us. I need to speak that which is true and what God says. Not give my opinion, but tell what the Lord says. Tell what the Lord says. Nothing better than just to repeat out of the scripture what our Lord says. And to be holy in thinking and speech and in action. It was wore out, but I tell you what would Jesus do if he were here in my shoes? That's what I need to do. I need to just do what the Lord would do. When here in my life and faced with the things that I'm faced with, what would my Lord do? That's what I need to find out and do. And how do we find out? We find out through His Word, feeding upon His Word. You know what? He has called us, and He is holy indeed. Moses wanted to see the Lord, didn't he? Let me see your glory, Moses asked there in the mount. Remember that? The Lord says, no man can look upon me and live. That's how holy the Lord is. I like to understand it. The way I understand it is the white, hot righteousness and holiness of God. See, if the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a man, if he hadn't have restrained his holiness, but a glimpse of it, our three brethren got on the Mount of Transfiguration, if the Lord allowed himself to shine, men, mortals, would be burned up. The Lord, I believe there's judgment for those that are unbelieving in the last days about the brightness of his glory that he will shine. When he allows his glory to shine, I wonder if that's not how he'll burn up the world and those that come up against him at the end. All he's got to do is turn it loose. It would destroy everything because it's so holy and bright. And what is it our brother writes in Hebrews? Our God's a consuming fire, right? It's a fearful thing to fall into his hands, child of God. See that? So he is holy. And you know what? He's called us. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You know it's going to be a struggle because you got this old dead man on your back. But we need to follow. We need to try. We need to pursue. We need to pray that our Lord will help us. Be holy in all manner of conversation because it is written. These prophets that he mentioned earlier, he's quoting them now because it's written. Peter said, the Old Testament is good enough for us. See, there's some today that say, oh, you don't need the Old Testament. Old Testament's done. Pfft. Forget about the Old Testament. Pfft. It's over with. Tell you what, you won't understand things in the New Testament. You and I won't understand things in the New Testament unless we understand some of the things in the Old. And in the Old Testament, the Lord declared, and it was written by our brethren, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. He is holy. Well, we'll stop right here for tonight, and you pray that the Lord will help us and bless us as we look at what our brother has, our Lord has led our brother to write unto us. May we be holy in our conversation. We got to put thought into that. We got to put effort into that. As we've read here in recent times, we need to put off the old man and put on the new. We need, reviewed this at camp, we need to put on the armor of God. It's been prepared for us. Our Lord has expertly fitted and made it for us. It's not a physical armor, it's a spiritual armor indeed. But you know what? We need to put it on. We need to be conscious of it. We need to learn about it and think about it and pray to our Lord about it, that we might live for Him in this rest of the time that we have. Brother Peter uses those words, live the rest of our time, not the way we want to, but the way our Lord would have us to live. May the Lord help us in that.